Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. This morning we'll look at the important message of guarding our treasured gospel. Please stand as we read from the Word of God. We hear the Apostle Paul speaking by inspiration of the Holy Spirit to Timothy, and these words preserved for us this morning. 2 Timothy 1, verse 13, the Word of the Lord. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. The word of the Lord, may he strengthen you with it. Please be seated. I recall as a young man growing up, a few valuable possessions we had, a valuable possession of a small coin collection with a few semi-rare coins, and a pocket watch, a gold pocket watch with a chain that I had purchased for my father as a special gift. And as I think about these valuable possessions, one day I was taken back because I went to find them and they were gone. No coin collection, no gold pocket watch. You know, you have people come in your house all the time, friends, neighbors, relatives, acquaintances, strangers. And apparently one day somebody came in, someone walked out, and out walked the coin collection, and out walked my father's gold watch. As I reflect back upon that, there's one lesson I can learn, and that is, if you have something valuable, keep a close eye on it. If you have something worthwhile, guard it. Make sure it doesn't get away. Timothy had something valuable. What does Paul call it in verse 14? He says, you have a good deposit. Timothy had the good deposit. God has given Timothy and given to all of us who believe the good deposit. What is it? In 2 Thessalonians 3:16, it's called the good hope. In Hebrews 10:1, it's called the good things that are coming. In 2 Timothy 1:8, it's called the gospel or the good news. Matthew 4:23 calls it the good news of the kingdom. Mark 1:14 calls it the good news of God. Elsewhere in the gospel, it's called the good news of Jesus. We have something valuable, and we don't want it to get away. It's interesting how Paul had spoken up to this text we got to this morning. Just prior, Paul had said the good deposit is, in verse 1 in this text, the promise of life. That's what we have, the promise of life. In verse 9, he says, it's the message that saves us. In verse 10, it's that which lights the runway through death and takes us from earth into immortality. Another word in verse 10, he calls it simply grace. That's the good deposit you have. And that's what we've got to be careful, to watch over, and take good care of it. Timothy had a good deposit. What was he to do with it? Verse 14, look at it. Guard the good deposit. Guard it. That's what I want you to do, Timothy. I want you to look out after it and take good care of it. I'd say, to give justice to the text, this text especially applies to pastors like myself and officers of the church, particularly the elders. You have a special responsibility to watch over, to guard that good deposit that you've been given. And of course, as individuals who know Christ, we have our own personal responsibility to watch after that which is precious to us. Now, it's interesting when you consider Timothy's situation. He lived in modern-day Turkey, back then called Asia Minor or Ephesus, where he was residing and ministering to his people. It was a metropolitan area, an international city. Perhaps you would equate it to London or maybe New York. Ephesus had a couple major ports around it where you could experience all sorts of things coming into the city. People would transport knickknacks, a boatload of food, all sorts of items. In fact, the gospel itself had been transported from Jerusalem and found its way to Ephesus. And now that they had this special good deposit, Timothy was to guard it. Because other things were being transported. You know, when a boat docks at Baltimore or somewhere, not only do they unload goods, but sometimes people were unloaded, especially Los Angeles or New York. And we have a whole country of people who've been unloaded into America. We call it the melting pot. They used to call it that. And that means other ideas come into our communities. And Paul wants us to be careful to guard the ideas that have been handed down to us from Christ. And that's why we can understand in 1 Timothy chapter 3, while there were qualifications for officers, these men were to be what? Paul says, 1 Timothy 3, well qualified. Not recent converts. They had to be grounded in the faith, able to teach. In Titus chapter 1, hear what he says in a related text. He says, the overseer must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. Why? He goes on to say, for there are many rebellious people, mere talkers, deceivers, especially those of the circumcision group, that's the Judaizers, and they must be silenced because they are ruining whole households by teaching things that ought not to be taught. Paul simply says this, look, teaching is going to go on. It's not going to be healthy. It's going to ruin homes, communities, and lives. And it's the officers particularly that of this church, we have a responsibility to guard the precious gospel. Because if we don't guard it well, lives will be ruined. That's what he says in Titus. Now it's interesting that, and it's sad, that a Christian group or a Christian organization can lose the good deposit. I noticed a sign on the door today we came in. Someone had a sign that says missing. Was a lost cat? Is that what it is? something valuable, missing. They're looking for it. They used to have it, but now they don't. The same thing can happen in a Christian organization. 30 years ago, roughly, I was knocking on a door because I was confused. I was mixed up, and I was trying to piece my life together to find out why I was on earth. I was so confused, and had been confused for about 20-some years, that I broke down and cried. A grown young man crying. But it reflected a great need in my life. And so on that day, I jumped in my car and drove about 2 miles to a church, and I knocked on the door. And I got an answer. They opened the parsonage door, and the first two words out of my mouth were, "I'm lost. I'm lost." Of course, that led to a long conversation. They invited me into a house, into the parsonage. We sat and chat. And that day I left, and this is what the advice I was given. You need to go back to college. We know you own a pool room and all, and that's okay, but what you really need is to go back to college. If I had knocked on the same church door, the same door, 150, 200 years earlier, you know what the minister and his wife would have said to me in that same denomination? They would have said, "I'm glad you knocked on the door today. I'm glad you told us you're lost, because we have exactly something good to give you. We have some good news for you. And it's all about Jesus Christ. Sit down. Let me tell you about something that will help you." You see, a whole denomination, a whole organization can lose the good deposit, so that when people are actually knocking on doors looking for it, they cannot find it. I pray that we will guard it well, so that when they knock on these church doors 200 years from now, the Lord tarries, they'll still find the message of life. They'll still find the way to get forgiveness. They can still find how to get right with God. How do you guard the good news? How do you guard the good deposit? Well, what do you do? Certainly, we're not going to a monastery to be reclusive, to get away from the world and remove ourselves. We aren't going to put it in a safe somewhere so no one can get to it. That's not the point. But at the ground level, we've got to begin by recognizing, first of all, we have something worth guarding. You say, "Well, I knew that." But do we really know it? In the society around us, we live in a pluralistic society. And that's okay. I'm glad we live in America. We have all sorts of people. We live with different backgrounds, different cultures. And we need to show respect for one another in those cultures and their heritages. But somehow, we're left with this impression that all deposits are the same. In other words, that Christianity is just one more among many. And what you have is no more special than anyone else. And there's a certain sense in which we shouldn't feel superior. We shouldn't feel better than others. And we shouldn't be slow to judge anyone. But there is a certain sense in which the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, says what you have is very special, unlike any other group. Believers, whether you're from Europe, whether you're from Australia, regardless of your culture and background, once you've entered into the Church of Jesus Christ, and once He's given you this special deposit, you have what nobody else has. And what everybody else needs. The good deposit. And we are to, first of all, begin guarding by remembering that what you have is a matter of life and death. What you have is that big that it's life and death. With it, there's life. Without it, there's no life. Just judgment without a Savior. Just appearing before God with no excuses except whatever we can drum up on our own. And there'll never be enough to say, Lord, accept me based on this. And so we, first of all, begin to guard. Timothy would guard by recognizing what you have is worth guarding. And people may downplay it. But we need to remember it's valuable, whatever, regardless of whatever else people say about it or think of it. It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make it any less valuable or more valuable. It is what it is. And it's the power of life. It's a related passage in 2 Peter 3:15 where he speaks about guarding against corruption. That's what we need to guard against. Not just an awareness that it's worth guarding, but to guard against corruption when we see the edges of it becoming tarnished. 2 Peter 3:15, he says, bear in mind that Paul's letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, he says, as dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard. We know that the gospel, the deposit, is going to be distorted. We know that it's going to be tarnished. We know that other people are going to minimize it or devalue it. Just be aware of that. That's part of living in the world. And moreover, officers especially, beware and guard against it. In specific ways, how can we guard specifically? Well, there's some things we can do, and I just suggest some things. I'm sure there are many others. But you can guard by stating it and restating what the good deposit is. Just state what it is. Embellish on it. Elaborate it. Try to define it. It's an interesting challenge. For instance, try to define the deposit in 10 words. Try to do it in 2 words. See if you can write a whole page on what the deposit is. That's a great exercise on guarding, because it makes it clear in our mind what the good deposit is. Explain it. Teach a Sunday school class. What a great way to guard it and teach it about Jesus. Begin to gather everything you know within you and put it on paper, or gather from books. If you want to put it another way, study. 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, but who correctly handles the word of truth. You can guard simply by this, studying what's in there. It'll take you a lifetime to get to the bottom of this rich treasure. But there's much of it we can understand, and much that we can study and ponder upon. It's profound. It's eternally profound in both directions, if you want to think linearly. Before the beginning of time, life was promised. And at the end of time, life will continue for those who know Christ. It'll be a blessed life with no end. Something to ponder and study. Clarify what the deposit is. Repeat it. State it and restate it over and over again. Someone said it takes about 70-some times to learn a new dance step. You got to just sit. It's probably relatively true. You just need to hear it over and over again to actually learn what it is. And then there's one scripture I want to read to you, 1 Timothy 4. You want to guard this way. He says, until I come, 1 Timothy 4:13, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. First of all, sit under preaching. Get involved in a class where teaching is being taught. And then the emphasis here I want to put on is the public reading of Scripture. Paul says, 1 Timothy 4:13, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture. Now, first I thought about that, and I thought, well, that's a good thing to read the Bible in public. And then it dawned on me, it hit me another way. In Paul's context, Timothy's context, they didn't have a Bible in every pew. They didn't have Bibles in their homes. What he was saying, I think the principle was that get the Bible to the people without comment. First primary source. Application, read the Bible for yourself. Right now, you're depending on me, right? What I'm saying? Occasionally you'll look down. Hopefully you all have the Bibles open and look. That's why we put the page number in the bulletin, so you know right where to turn to see if the minister is like reading into it or whatever he's doing, getting off. But there's nothing better to guard the gospel than to actually read it firsthand for yourself. It keeps us all in check, doesn't it? And then when you hear something from the pulpit or you hear something in the class, you say, that didn't quite ring. I can't quite figure out what it is, but it's something's not settling down right there. And then you say, how does that relate to what I just read? It keeps us on track. We can guard simply by reading the Bibles personally, directly, without comment. And for those of you who don't like to read much, there aren't too many of you out there, you know, they have it on tape. Just stick it in the auto, in the cassette when you're driving on these trips and let it play for about an hour. You'll be surprised what it does for you. And it will guard the gospel in your heart. Well, we need not only to guard the gospel, we need to guard it with the right spirit. You see what he says in verse 13? Look at it. He says, what you heard from me, that's teachings about the gospel, keep as a pattern of sound teaching and guard or keep with faith and love. Keep it with faith and love in Christ Jesus. First of all, we have to guard the gospel with a spirit of love. We've all been caught up in the elections, right? And the results. And it's interesting when we begin to see people interfacing with each other on what they think about the whole issue of the election. And now you can go to a TV panel show, or you can go to Square Off, or go to somewhere, Nightline, and begin to see them talk about the issues. And some people have the thoughts, the issues well thought out, very articulate and logical, reason through. But if you're like anything like me, and we don't like people that are rude. Don't care how logical they are. Don't care what arguments they have. If they're plain rude and they don't listen to the other person, who wants to listen to them? Sometimes, you know, we have a thing on our mind. We want to say it. We're convinced it's right, right? We're so convinced that we don't even have time to listen to what the other person has to say. We're there, how can I get it in? How can I say it? What can I do? And then just with total disregard for a human being made in the image of God, we just come out with what we want to say. And the Bible says even if we have the right message, the good deposit, we have to speak about it in a good way, in love with other people. That is just as important as the message itself, though the manner cannot save you. But to make it receptive in people's hearts, how can we say that God loves a person if we ourselves are rude and don't show any love? Fortunately, the Holy Spirit overlooks a lot of our idiosyncrasies and our lack of love, or no one would ever be saved. But the manner has to be a good manner. He says, guard it with love. That's important. You know, a seminary professor of mine spoke 13 languages. It might have been 11. I think it was 13. 1 Corinthians 13 says, though you speak in the languages of men and of angels and you don't have love, all you're doing is, just might as well just stand up here, you know, and just make noise for a half an hour if there's no love. Fortunately, my seminary professor had a lot of love. Whether he spoke in Aramaic or Hebrew or Greek or Akkadian, and it was clear that he was concerned about his students. Otherwise, we walk away and say, well, this man knows a lot of languages, but sure he doesn't know anything about caring for people. So we need to guard with a spirit of love and a spirit of faith. So we look at this last point. Guard with a spirit of faith. You see it in verse 13. Keep it with faith. In the days of the old Wild Wild West, how did they keep safe the treasure box that was in the stagecoach? How did they guard it? Had a guy riding shotgun, right? He's there. Anybody comes around, if you try to take this baby, we're going to blow you away, okay? You have a rifle. It's called the rifle of faith. That's what you guard with. A confidence. First of all, you have a confidence that this is a message worth guarding. You really believe it's worth guarding. Otherwise, you're not going to guard it. Why do they have these armored cars and Brinks and Wells Fargo guys when they transport money from the banks? They have them there because they actually think this is worth protecting. And so we have to believe. And if your faith, if you doubt that you have something valuable, you need to strengthen your faith and read the Bible more, because that's how you feed your faith. We protect it with faith. Faith that we have something worth protecting. And also, and this is a final point, faith in God's Spirit to help you. Because you can't guard it on your own. You see what he says here in the verse 14. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. Do you believe you have the Holy Spirit in you? If you know Christ, you do. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Otherwise, you don't belong to Christ. You have the Spirit of Christ in you. Now, what the Bible says, you need to trust the Spirit of God who's in you personally. You need to go beyond the pastor, go beyond the elders, and trust God Himself in the person of the Spirit. How do you think Jim Jones, got, was it 900 people to kill themselves? How do you think he did that? Because people misplaced their trust. They put it in a human being who led them to a path of destruction. You don't want to put, there's certain things we have to trust each other, and the Bible, I think, teaches that. The limits of trust, though, always guard it. Because God is our ultimate trust. You've got to go beyond me and the officer and the PCA. You've got to go beyond it all and trust God and the person of the Spirit who's in you. To believe God's real, to believe God's in your heart, and trust Him. And then you won't. Then you'll sleep a little easier when you're worried about your kids, or you're worried about the state of this church, or you're worried about the election outcomes. If your faith is in God, His Spirit, we can relax. And that's where the faith should be. In the person, the third person of the Spirit of God, who is not going to lead us astray, who is going to lead us continually back to Christ, who is our salvation. Well, in closing, I just simply say, you've been given a precious gift, precious deposit. It's a treasure worth guarding. Now, we're going to try to help you in the church to guard it. We want your prayers as officers, our officers, as we help you guard it. But you have a responsibility yourselves to do what you can to guard the message of eternal life. And you need to guard it with love, respect for the people around you, and a confidence that is worth guarding, and a confidence that God's Spirit is going to help you. That's the message. Now just go and guard. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Pray your Spirit would honor this message and help us in our call to preserve the truth of Jesus Christ and His riches, which we're able to spend for eternity. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.